This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, and thank you so much for tuning into Art Speak Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I said that kind of fast, but, you know, I did because we have a lot of guests here in the studio, as always. Got some terrific talent here in this room. So let me tell you, we've got actor Rudy Youngblood is here in the studio. Also, we have author Zieglinda Othmer, artist Haley Selmayr, Samantha Slupski, Asia Rain, and Abby Bland are all here in the studio. So, yeah, we're happy that you've joined us on 90.1 FM or online at kkfi.org. Terrific. So, let me introduce my first guest. That is Rudy Youngblood, and he is a Native American of Comanche and Cree descent. And growing up, he never called one place home, but went to school, graduated in the small town of Belton, Texas. You may recognize his name, Rudy Youngblood. He made his on-screen debut in Mel Gibson's Oscar-nominated film Apocalypto in 2006. And since then, he's toured for three seasons with Peter Buffett's Native American dance theatrical production, Spirit, the Seventh Fire as a Warrior Protector. Rudy was also part of the Native American Dance Theater in 2005. He's also been in several films, including the lead role as Brandon in the 2010 MMA film Beatdown, which is a natural role for Youngblood because he wants to kick my ass right now. Oops, I said ass. So welcome, Rudy Youngblood. Welcome to KKFI and Art Speak Radio.
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Good, good, good. So, you know, you're here because there's something going on in town, which our friend Luis Garcia mentioned to me. And let's talk about that first off. And I know there's an event Sunday, August 12th, that you're going to be at the Alamo Draft House, and we're going to view a film of yours, right?
Yes, that is correct. I'm just kidding. But yes, there's an event August 12th at Alamo Draft House here in Kansas City, Missouri. Let me get it correct.
Yes,
just in case
you.
I don't
we
say
love
Kansas.
That about you.
And then everybody's throwing beer bottles at me or throwing rocks.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Yeah, no, so I'm in town and we're doing that event. And then after this event, we're going to possibly do another at the Union Station here.
Oh,
I'm also in town for promoting filmmaking and bringing a couple of my projects here to Kansas City, Missouri for the arts and for the younger generation and for the people that are inspiring actors, actresses, anybody in film and theater plays and so on and so forth. So bring a little bit of young blood to Kansas City, Missouri. So.
Get it? Youngblood, Rudy, Youngblood.
Rudy, Youngblood, Rudy, Youngblood.
But, you know, and I want to talk about, just briefly, you're best known for your role as Jaguar Paw and the groundbreaking film Apocalypto. You also do travel the world to spread your passion for art and the value of hard work, which we love that about you.
Thank you.
You know, the film that we're going to be screening at the Alamo Draft House is Wind Walkers.
Correct.
And then that's going to be followed by a live Q&A there at the Alamo Draft House.
Well, Apocalypto was, it's hard to compete with a $180 million film. It's a bigger budget project. I was also Oscar nominated for Best Actor for that project.
Congratulations, that was awesome.
For Jaguar Paw. I'll always and forever be remembered as Jaguar Paw, no matter what I do.
Really?
In film, yeah. But, I mean, it's a blessing thing. The other scenario is, you know, all the other pictures that I've done and so on and so forth, for me, it's about inspiring and it's about the art. And stepping into a role that you can kind of just lose yourself and really, really transform what you do and who you are as a person. And and it makes it that much harder. And I like anything that's harder and more difficult because you get the most beautiful concepts out of something so traumatic. And so for me, for Windwalkers at the Alamo Draft House, it's a different type of picture. Some people might get scared. Some people might not. It's a fun project, but at the same time, it's all about working with good people. And like you said, traveling the world, speaking my messages, I do a lot of motivational speaking. I do a lot, but at the same time, it's about giving back to the people. And that's whether you're native, non-native, it's not about that to me. It's about we're all people and we should all unite together as one and join together and have mm-hmm. fun. And that's why we're doing this event at Alamo Drafthouse, because it's not only going to be screening a film and autograph signing and all that Hollywood jazz, but you know, there'll be some special stuff that I'm going to bring to the table, and so everybody can enjoy and feel a little bit about a part of Rudy Youngblood as a person, not as an entity
yeah.
in the Hollywood scene. So,
well, and I think you bring a lot, you know, to that because you're so passionate about working with youth and really kind of uplifting people.
Correct.
You know, talking about the role of Jaguar Paul in Apocalypto, I want to mention to our listeners, because I know a lot of them have seen this movie, and honestly, it really made that history come to life.
Correct.
You know, I mean, you can go back and look at some of the drawings and the written history and all that, but
sure.
to actually see it come to life on screen was
well, it's never been done
amazing.
Before.
Yeah,
it's never been done before in
it was groundbreaking.
That artistic standpoint or that artistic mm-hmm. way of cinema, the same as Passion of the Christ, you know, another
yes,
male's film.
Yeah.
And those are projects that forever will be etched in stone, but it's never been done on screen.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that, whether they don't like it or they don't agree with it, it's not a National Geographic movie. It's not historically based. It's
mm-hmm.
a love story,
yeah.
but it's also a love chase story. So it's action-packed, and there's a lot of moving elements and a lot of elements in that type of film just because of the capacity of how big it is. People don't really realize how massive it really is, and for me to be on that project and be the lead of the film, I do all my own stunts in every film that you ever see me in.
I
take a point to do so just because I don't want to cheat myself and I don't want to cheat my audience.
Yeah,
but so everything that you see me in all my films, it is me, and I do get hurt from time to time.
Well, and in that movie, it did include a death-defying 170-foot freefall during the waterfall scene. You remember that?
Yeah, I do, because I wanted to jump off the waterfall, but I couldn't because they said it was dangerous or whatever. And I jumped 175 feet off of a 15-story building four times to an airbag, so...
Man.
I'm, you know, when you say go, I'm ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, yeah. And then, as in part of that movie, too, you were running in front of a live 200-pound jaguar.
Correct.
So, I love that, that you walk that walk, you know?
I walk the walk and I talk the talk, but I back it up at the same time.
Yeah. And not to mention that you learned the Yucatan Mayan language in less than a month.
Yes,
and that is a very difficult language.
It's one of the few cultures that have so many different dialects within their own culture.
Yeah.
So you can look on the other side of the hill, and the same word, say like in Yakumich in Mayan means I love you, and you say the same thing to somebody on the other side of the hill, and it means something totally different.
Yeah.
So it's very confusing and very difficult at the same time. But like. Everybody asks me, am I going to do Apocalypto 2, or is there going to be Apocalypto 2? And I'm still healing from Apocalypto 1, so, I don't...
Well, it could be interesting if you fast-forward it and do Apocalypto 2 in the Trump era. Oops, did I say that? So anyway, let's talk about Windwalkers. Windwalkers is... you worked with director Russell Friedenberg for this movie. And also Crossing Point by Daniel Zarelli and The Dance of the Blue Tattoo. Now, Windwalkers, give us a little snapshot about the premise of that movie, if you would.
Windwalkers is basically two best friends that were prisoners of war in the military and come home. But they come home bringing an element from another country and develops into a mythological creature. And not to give too much away, but it's a little bit of a roller coaster, basically in today's society, so to speak. And you can either take it that you're either good or bad, but to me, it was fun.
And,
it was fun.
You know, If you've just tuned into ArtSpeak Radio, I'm talking to Rudy Youngblood, who is a Native American actor of Comanche and Cree descent, here in the studio talking about his time here in Kansas City, and we're happy to have you. Is this your first time here?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I still haven't seen all the sights, but it's beautiful and the people are funny here. Because
we're all hometown.
You got to get it correct. It's Kansas City, Missouri, and not Kansas. And yeah, you will get corrected. That's for sure. Yeah. Really fast. And the arts here are phenomenal, and the town, well, the city itself is. I like it because it's very inspiring to go to a city that actually cares about the artistic standpoints of the city, yeah. Whether it be dance, musical, yeah. Whatever, anything artistic, they stand by it. And that's why I'm going to bring a couple of my next projects. Then I have another film that will be announced that I'll be working with, not to give away name, Johnny Depp, but...
I've heard of him.
It'll be fun, you know, and all the films that I have done in the past are fun projects, yeah. And people see me in a different light sometimes. I'm like, anybody that knows me knows that I'm not a really big crier, and when you have to cry on scene, it's something different, and, you know, you just have fun with it, yeah. You know, that's my thing, and, you know, you gotta feel sexy when you wake up sexy. And go to sleep sexy.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Oh, baby. I'm just kidding.
We're going to take a quick break. I'm just kidding. You know, Rudy, I want to say that, you know, I understand in the write-up that you mentioned that youth are the future, and you feel obligated and privileged to share your knowledge with the youth of today, and that I understand your hopes and struggles are one example that you hope to motivate youth to strive for success. Are the projects that you're working on currently, is it youth-oriented, or can you talk a little bit about that?
I try to actually implement that scenario into anything that I do, whether it be volunteer work or internships, you know, on a project, just so everybody can get their feet wet. The problem with today's society is you can have a degree and go to a big major university, but the first question that they're going to ask you when you come out with this piece of paper that you've done great things is, what's your experience?
That's true.
Unfortunately, is what frustrates the younger generation and the youth, and this is real life. And so I try to give the opportunity where people can actually grow and feel inspired about what they do and feel proud about what they do. My whole passion is to actually just motivate people in general, because you don't know who needs help every day. I just had a big scare recently here in Kansas City. So I'm grateful to be standing here today, and I'm alive, I'm breathing, I'm fine. I'm grateful. For me, I do a lot of motivational speaking all over the world, not only to Native youth, but to non-Native prison systems, battered women. Giving back is the most important thing that you can possibly do, because you don't know who you're going to touch.
You know, it's so true. I've had a lot of guests in the studio talk about someone that impacted their life, that made them, you know, an artist, that made them a painter, that really sort of spoke to them. Either in you know, present, you know, or through their words, you know, reading or something.
Right.
I love this quote, and I'm going to quote you: "To believe in yourself and know who you are when others don't believe in you is the greatest accomplishment. To never give up, to never quit, to have faith and stand your ground. Never change who you are. Love yourself because you have already made it, and you are somebody."
I believe that very deeply, because the part that people don't know about me, they only see.
I almost made you cry.
Man, what's going on here? Wait a minute. Where's my cheeseburger? But it's very true. I grew up an orphan. I've been on my own since I was 9 years old to now being a grown man. And you have to put a tougher type of skin on, that's for sure. And. You know, there's good and there's bad in everything, but it's the choices that you make that are going to affect tomorrow and the future. So, I've been through the worst of the worst. So for me, is standing your ground and believing in yourself, because that's what's going to make you feel beautiful. Everybody's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I don't care what, you know, the worst thing that's going on and you can never get away from, one is racism. Two is the negativity within people themselves, jealousy, greed, a lot of younger youth are going through depression, suicide, because some person said you look fat. Some other person said you're wearing Walmart clothes, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Those words don't affect me because I can block those out. But it hurts people, you know.
Yeah.
And at
yeah.
the same time, I just want to say you are beautiful, no matter what you do.
Mm.
So
yeah,
stand
you know,
strong.
Well, and I think it's a life lesson when as you get older and you can kind of see around corners. You know that everything is going to be all right. You begin to believe that, you know, I'll get through this. But when you're young, it's so hard.
Right.
You know, because you don't have the experiences.
I agree. But, you know, at the same time, I think we all should turn. And it's okay to say, oh, you look beautiful. Oh, how's your day? Shake someone's hand that you don't know. Because you know what? Somebody could be going through something that day. And it's special.
Yeah.
To me, it's special. Like, I literally just got out of the hospital. I've been out of the hospital, 2 months and a week, I believe.
Mm.
I'm supposed to not be here, to be honest.
We're glad you're here.
So I almost passed away in Kansas City, Missouri, and that would I was on my deathbed, to be honest with you, and that's what they were telling me. I wasn't going to make it, and
wow.
I just looked at them and said, well, you obviously don't know who I am. I'm a fighter. So.
Wow, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, when you die and you wake up to people with defibrillator pads over you, it's like reality kicks in. And it can. That's why I say live your life to the fullest today, right now, because tomorrow's not guaranteed.
Yeah. We're glad you're here. My
Thank
God.
You.
I thought, did this guy have anything to do with it? This Luis Castillo. Luis, what did you feed him? Come on now. Come on. You know, is it a heart condition?
No,
it
was actually due to somebody else's negligence, not even mine. Yeah. I just came off of a project in Bangkok, Thailand, and let's just say I ended up drinking acid chemical cleaner for the engine oil, and not by choice, but it affected everything in my insides, and you know, that's a long story, but still standing.
We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
You know, we're happy that you're with us. You know, I think there's a lot to be said about the human spirit in
absolutely
staying here, staying anchored. Sunday, August 12th, Rudy Youngblood comes to the Alamo Draft House, Kansas City, to talk art, culture, life, death, film. His role as Jaguar Paw in the groundbreaking film Apocalypto. And again, you were nominated for an Oscar.
I was,
and,
yes.
And the movie was too.
Yeah.
And you're also an actor, musician, dancer, and artist. What sort of art?
I do all mediums in art and painting, drawing. I had Olympic qualifying times for a mile. I had full ride scholarships for my running to all major universities in the United States. And I won Golden Gloves in 2000, boxing in San Antonio, Texas. I actually taught a couple classes, and I went to Juilliard for dance. And there's many things that people don't know about me. They just know, like, either serious roles or the movie star aspect. And I really don't like to see myself as a celebrity or a movie star because, I mean, if you told me right now, do you want to go work with horses? And I'll do it for free. Mm-hmm. I love to smell. It's a weird thing that about me, but I love the smell of. I don't want to cuss on the radio, but horse poop. I guess you would say. And I don't know. That's me. Yeah. I'm a cowboy. Yeah. Like I have 20 horses, and I love to train horses. My passion, and I'm very, very passionate about anything that I do. Mm-hmm. I believe if you're going to do something, do it right, and do it to the full potential. Don't do things just to do things because you will never grow from just touching something. Make it the best that you can possibly be. And I like to be the best at everything, not against anybody else, but for myself. I like to challenge myself.
Sure.
And with anything and everything I've done, I mean, I don't believe in doing one thing. So I'm a native singer. I'm a native dancer. I'm a dancer in today's society, and I started out dance. I never thought that I was going to be an actor. That's far from anything.
Well, and I think you were handpicked by Mel Gibson.
Himself? I just actually was sent actually by a choreographer friend of mine. His name is Chris Dupre. And I was supposed to be a backup dancer for Madonna and Janet Jackson. And I got sent to this place and I didn't know what it was. And next thing you know, we just sat there and when he looked like crap when I first met him, and I told him because, you know, I just happen to speak my mind all the time. But sometimes it gets me in trouble and sometimes it doesn't. But you gotta have fun with everything, you know.
Absolutely,
so,
absolutely.
Next thing you know, I was on a plane the next night to Mexico City. But everybody also forgot to tell me that this movie was going to be in another language. Mm. So, honestly, they gave me a script and then there's the English format, Spanish format, and then the Mayan format. And I'm like, okay, which one of these do I need to? I don't know how to read anything else other than English.
Wow,
and,
yeah.
You know, I am native. I'm not Mexican. But everybody that looks at me, they're like, hey, dark guy, Mexican guy. You know, but...
hey, comp.
Yeah, here you go. But I do speak Spanish fluently, which is weird. Yeah. And I speak 5 different languages. But they said, here, this movie's in Mayan. You got to learn Mayan. And I think that was the first time in my life that I've ever doubted myself that I don't know if I can do this, you know. And
it's a tough language, man.
But at the same time, it's learning to adapt and be a chameleon with anything that you're doing.
Yeah.
And I really encourage that in life, is to be a chameleon. You know, everybody has that terminology of, if you don't know it, fake it to make it. You know what I mean? But I see that as a negative. For me, to become a chameleon is... actually soaking it in as a sponge and adapt it to your own capabilities.
I like that.
You know, in like, it's the same concept in today's society with the education system in schools. Not everybody learns the same way. You know what I mean? And it's a big problem for me because I was that kid that was getting kicked out. I had a permanent desk in every class in the hallway. And, skipping school and whatever, because that was my frustration would kick in because I could not learn the way that they teach me. I have a photographic memory, so I break things down differently. And they put me in special ed class saying that, you know, I have trouble. But next thing you know, you know, I'm an AB student and I have over 4.0 GPA. And they would think that I was cheating because I was that guy, hot-headed. I'll admit it. I was hot-headed. You know, that was high school. Well, you have fun, you know. Maybe a little bit too much fun, but...
Well, you know, what I would suggest, unless you've done this already and I don't know about it, a biography. We need a biography from you. I mean, you have an interesting story. So many different lives in this young body.
Everybody's always told me that, like, you know, I've been around the world so many times and I don't know it. You know, I have been a lot of places. Even, okay, separate the... I hate the whole acting aspect and this celebrity label that gets put on you. Even before that, like, I encourage everybody has a voice. It's up to you how you choose to use it for the world to see. You don't have to be famous and you don't have to be a professional athlete to have a voice. If you have something to say... say it.
It's worth listening to. It's worth
somebody
hearing.
Will
it's
hear
worth
you.
Putting
somebody
out
will hear you. Yeah. And so, you know, I have experienced mainly, you know, my life has been all bad and dark and gloomy and gray, but I'm that dark horse that likes to stay in the shadow. Then I come out of left field and I will win the race. So that's what I do.
I love that about you.
Did I just rant? That,
no, said, no, no, no.
Let's write that down. I forgot what I just said.
It's podcast, honey.
Yeah, I hear you.
Again, Wynn Walkers will be followed by a live question and answer at Alamo Draft House. And the doors open at 6:30. The screening is at 7 p.m. Question and answer will begin after screening. Meet and greet, signing in the lobby to follow. This is an event that you can find on Facebook. And it is Wynn Walkers at the Alamo Draft House, Kansas City. I don't have the address for it, but it's like in just off Main, I believe, right? There you go. There you go. Power and Light District, right? Well, I hate to end our conversation. You're just delightful.
Please,
I know. Stick around. We love you. And I hope that you come back to Kansas City. And, you know, thank you for sharing your honesty and your compassion, your passion,
your
commitment to the arts and to our youth.
Thank you.
I really value
that.
And, of course, you know, your craft as an actor, musician, dancer. performer. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you for having me, and I really appreciate it. And yeah, everybody come join. I'm going to do a live performance. I won't say. It's going to be a surprise. And there'll be music. And hey, come and have fun with me. Come and play and just relax and forget about yesterday. And let's be in the now. And you know, there's always tomorrow.
I love that. Thank you so much, Rudy Youngblood. And we're going to be right back from with ArtSpeak Radio after this. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. This is ArtSpeak Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in with us today and every Wednesday, noon to 1. We love that about you. Or I know you're listening online, or perhaps tune in radio on your smartphone. Our next guest is Siglinda Othmer, and she is a PhD, studied in Paris in the University of Hamburg. She earned a doctorate in history and French literature, and at age 25, her first book, A History of Human Rights in Europe in the 17th and 18th century, was finished and published in Germany. Shortly thereafter, she immigrated to the United States, pursuing a career in academia. And we're going to fast forward. She published recently, in recent years. She chose a dramatically different path in writing, fiction. So she published two contemporary fables, Whims, Wits, and Whiskers, A Californian Pet Tale, An Adventure New Zealand, Beneath the Torteras.
Torteras.
Welcome, Siglinda.
Thank you, Maria, for having me on your show. Yeah, fabulous.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of fabulous, these books are really a lot of fun. Both the books explore kind of contemporary issues, right?
Yes.
And environment and diversity and tolerance. Let's talk about the first book, Whims, Wits, and Whiskers, A Californian Pet Tale.
It is a story of seven animals. They were all real pets in my family, two cats and five dogs. They decided to not sit at home and wait for their owners to come home, but to become creative and go into the world, set up shows. And by the way, they come to Parkville and put up a beautiful performance of song and dance. And here we go. And then I wrote a second book about the same cast of characters, but this time they are going to do a benefit show for an extinction, for a bird that will be extinct in New Zealand unless action is taken. So they go to New Zealand and do an adventure.
And what is the animal? Is that the kiwi?
The kiwi bird, kiwi, the wingless kiwi bird who is threatened by stoats or ferrets.
Well, I love that these pets, and they all have these wonderful personalities. You've got the Labrador Pit Bull, Mr. Guinness.
Yes.
Shih Tzu Lexi, who's very compassionate. All of these animals have a characteristic that are very human, and I think animals do have these characteristics too. A spunky Tibetan Terrier Rosie, and a gassy Beagle, a Basset Hound George, and then you've got your kindly yellow lab Bailey, and two tomcats, or suave tomcats, Cosmo and Miles. One of them, I believe it's Miles, speaks Italian?
Yes. French. Yes, the cats are uppity, and they like to practice foreign languages. So I included in my book a glossary of French words, New Zealand words, and even Maori words. The Maori are the indigenous population of New Zealand. So if you're interested in language, there you are.
Well, they're so much fun because, you know, they decide to group together and band together and, you know, put on the show and all that. There's so much fun to read about. And then taking it to New Zealand, what I know they're trying to band together to help this endangered species, but is that something that was in your mind that, you know, perhaps you can make a sort of a statement with these animals and helping?
It is really, my story is about animals, but it's really about people and how to learn respect for other creatures, other cultures, because like Lexi says in my book, no one is all bad.
I love that. You know, and I do want to mention that the witsandwhiskers.com is one website that you can find the books at and kind of get a glimpse of them, and the illustrations are just fantastic.
Yeah.
Adorable.
The website is ziglindaothmer.com, where you find both books, if you like.
And then there's also music on, on the website. Yes. So let's talk about the music.
Well, the music, it ties in with your previous guest, Maria. There is one song in my book that is intrinsic to the book, the text and the lyrics. It's called Believe. And this song is sung by the hummingbirds who fly over long distances, take along the young kids. And Believe is the essence of my book, actually. Believe in yourself. Believe in the goodness of people.
Well, I love that this real-world-based animal fantasy delivers just these really lessons in character building and conflict resolution with humor and heart.
Yes.
So, you know, I would say, I would venture to say they're not just, you know, for children or young adults, but they're for everybody, these stories.
They're for pet lovers of all ages.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Now, if you've just tuned in to ArtSpeak Radio, I am talking with author Zieglinda Othmer, and we're talking about her books, Whims, Wits, and Whiskers, A California Pet Tale, and her second book, Adventure New Zealand, Beneath the Totaras, right?
Yeah.
So, your daughter, who I should mention, also had a hand in this, the very beautiful and talented singer-songwriter, Julia Othmer.
Yes, she and her husband, Mr. James Lundy, produced two songs that go with the book, and I am so happy that they did. I had a, originally I had German folk songs in mind, but they created totally new lyrics with beautiful music that go with my book.
You know, we just love your daughter. She's just delightful, as you are. And I
Thank
do want to say congratulations, because recently you were awarded the first place for best juvenile book by the Missouri Writers Guild and distinguished favorite in juvenile fiction by the International Independent Press Award. So congratulations for that.
Thank you, Maria. They were so gracious, and I was so surprised, unexpected.
Well, we love that.
Lovely. Thank you.
So where can we can find your books online, on your website. Do you have any upcoming events that you want to share with our audience?
Well, I am hoping to go to schools to share my books with schools so they can get the social situations that are described in the books clear, the values, the music, foreign languages, that kind of thing.
How can people get in contact with you if they're interested?
They can go to my website.
Okay.
Yeah.
And again, if you would share that with us?
Yes. It's scothmer@kc.rr.com. That's my email address.
And I will post that on the KKFI website and the Facebook website in case people are driving and they can't write that down right away. Very enjoyable books, Whims, Wits, and Whiskers, A Californian Pet Tale, and Adventure New Zealand, Beneath the Torteras. You know, just one more thing. Is there going to be an animated version of these books?
Because I am so hoping, Maria. That. I am hoping. Yes.
I could so see that. I could sing in your movie.
Yeah. Please do. Yes.
I could, a cat scratch a song or two. But
Right. Sing with Julia.
I would love that.
Yes.
Well, and I'm happy that you were here with us today. And
thank you, Maria.
I invite you back. And, you know, next time, we'll get some people and read a little bit of your book.
An excerpt, maybe.
With different voices, characters.
Hey.
Could that be fun?
Hey, that'd be fun.
There you go.
Thank you, my dear.
You bet. And we're going to go out with a little bit of your music from the books, and then we'll be right back with ArtSpeak Radio. It's live radio, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I want to introduce my next guests, artist Haley Selmayr. She's a 10-year-old professional artist from the Kansas City area who loves to paint and create art. Also, we have from Vault Studios and Buckner, Aaron Ross is here, and it's great to have you back, Haley.
Thank you.
And happy belated birthday to you.
Yeah, so I just turned 11 yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty soon I'll be 21. I'm just kidding. But, you know, I hope it was a good birthday.
It was.
Good, good. So you've been painting since we last spoke?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I understand from your mother that you're going to be teaching classes, or you've been teaching classes, right?
Yes, I have been.
Okay, and where's that at?
I taught a class at the Paper Birch Landing Gallery, which I'm an artist in residence in.
Oh, terrific.
And I am teaching classes once a season with the Vault Studios.
Yeah, and welcome, Aaron Ross, with
Thank
the
you.
Vault Studio. Talk to us a little bit about the studio there.
Well, we just recently got it open. We got it, the whole building. It's a beautiful building. And I did all the renovations myself. And a lot of people say it's my masterpiece, but... We did on Buckner to bring some art and culture out to the rural area, and it's tough, but Haley's helping us out with her classes, which
oh, great.
Get great turnouts.
Good. What are the classes that you teach, Haley?
I've taught two so far. One of them I have done, I've painted a sunset painting, and I've also painted a beach scene.
Is it difficult to teach class, or do you feel kind of like, oh, it's just a natural sort of thing that you do that comes
it
easy to you?
It feels natural when I'm doing it, uh-huh. but before I kind of get nervous, but
sure.
when I'm doing it, I really don't see why I get nervous, because I really like doing it. It's really fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and I bet you're a good teacher. What are the ages of some of your students? I mean, do you have, like, all, you know, younger people, adults? Who do you teach?
Well, I've taught some. Well, at the Vault Studios, it's mainly a class for children, but anyone can be in the class. I've also taught some classes for the elderly, and just some adult classes.
I bet. Wow, so you've been doing that just this past year?
I've been teaching classes for 2 years now.
Wow, wow, wow. What is your favorite part of teaching? Because I know a lot of teachers really enjoy maybe this class, or they enjoy this component of an art class or whatever. Is there any favorite things that you like about
teaching? I really like sharing my knowledge, and I kind of like walking around and checking on people mm-hmm. and just seeing how my class affects other people.
Wow, I love that. Now, if you could share your website with us, and then we could share that with our listeners, because, you know, thinking about a 10-year-old professional artist that teaches...
11-year-old.
Oh, sorry. 11-year-old. You know, people, I'm sure, are curious and perhaps interested in maybe taking a class or seeing your work. So if you would share your website with them.
My website is HaleySwellmeyer.com. HaleySwellmeyer.com.
Do you have any advice for people who are just beginning to make art, or maybe a little anxious about, oh, I don't know where to begin? What would you say to them?
Just really do whatever you want to do, and don't give up.
Yeah. Who are some of the artists that you look at, Haley?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch the question.
Do you have any favorite artists that you've looked at in books or met in person, or whose work you admire?
Well, I really like Monet and Leonardo da Vinci. And I also have met and have an artist friend, Jill Huxtable.
Oh, yeah. We've had Jill here on the show. She was just delightful, too. But, again, share your website with us, if you would.
It's HaleySwellmeyer.com. HaleySwellmeyer.com.
And, Aaron, does Vault Studios, do you have a website or
yes.
any social media that you want to share with
yes,
us?
Yes, it's vault.studio is mm-hmm. our website.
And, you know, if you think about it, Buckner's not really that far. I mean,
no,
as we keep, you know, expanding mm-hmm. Kansas City and the metropolitan area.
Bring it out there.
Yeah,
bring the art out.
Yeah, we need that in Buckner. So any upcoming events that you want to share with us?
Right now, we just do an open Tuesday thing. It's just a little guided painting thing right now. I'm still working on getting the gallery hanging system up for our gallery shows.
Yeah, that's a lot of work in itself.
Yes.
But, you know.
Been working on it 2 years now.
Well, we thank you so much, Aaron Ross, for coming in. And Haley Selmayr, you'll be going back to school soon, right?
Yes, in about a week.
Oy. And you'll be going back as an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
We love you, Haley. Thank you so much for sharing your artwork with us and teaching others, you know, the beauty of art.
You're welcome.
You bet. We're going to be back with Art Speak Radio right after this. Hey, this is Maria Vasquez Boyd. Yay! Art Speak Radio. I'm trying to get a picture, but you're right. Yeah, let's scoot you that way. Yeah. So I'm trying to get a picture of our next guest. Yay, I think I got it. Samantha Slupski, Asia Rain, and Abby Bland. They're from the Kansas City Poetry Slam national team, and they're here to talk about their journey to the National Poetry Slam based in Chicago this year. So welcome, my friends.
Thanks.
Yay. So what does it take to get there? Oh, my gosh.
A lot of work.
Yeah. So that's taking place,
we leave
August 13th.
We leave on Monday.
Wow.
4:30 in the morning.
It's going to be great. We're going to drag together. Yeah. It'll be fun.
Yeah, so we're only 3 of the 5 members on the team, and so Darian Case and Corso are also 2 other members of the team, so we are mm-hmm. a 5-person team. So we're super excited.
So I understand that after you return from the National Poetry Slam, the Kansas City Poetry Slam will be heading straight into the next slam session, where any poet can compete from September to March to earn a spot on the team on the first Wednesday of each month.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have a slam every first Wednesday at Uptown Arts Bar at 9 p.m. And basically, starting in September, if you want to work your way to get to the National Poetry Slam, that is the time to start doing it. So, yeah, we have a season, and the more you slam, the more points you accumulate, mm-hmm. and the more likely you are to get on the team. So, yeah, it's just a lot of hard work and a lot of writing and practicing and memorizing and So these two beautiful ladies worked their way to the top this season. So yeah,
congratulations! That's terrific. You know, I think that speaks volumes, because there's such it's so competitive. Competitive, it really is. It's the, you know, Kansas City Poetry Slam Nationals. So you really have to be on your best. You really have to be on the mark, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're going in order to perform our best. This is the first time Kansas City Poetry Slam has ever qualified to go to nationals before. And so we are going in order to do our best. We're going to meet some of our heroes. We're going to participate in all the workshops and all the open mics and all of the different competitions that are going to be happening over the course of the week, and our whole goal is just to do our personal best, mm-hmm. whether that's performance wise, if it's writing wise, memorization. We just want to go do our best and then get better from that experience, mm-hmm. so that we can continue to be a part of that national scene.
Well, how do you inspire? How do you get people motivated to write and to perform? I mean, do you have any tips for that? They're all looking at each other. You answer the question. I mean, is there any sort of...
Inspiration is definitely an individual process for a lot of artists, but also we have regular workshops at the bar where mm-hmm. we get together with other poets in the community and just talk about performance aspects, we do different writing prompts to just kind of get the juices flowing and see what comes out of that, and then we go from there.
Yeah. We actually, there's one of our teammates, Corso. He is hosting a workshop tonight at Uptown Arts Bar at 7 p.m. Every second Wednesday of the month, right before our open mic, we have different poets that are either traveling or local poets teach workshops. And that's just supposed to be a space that poets can enter and, like Abby said, just kind of get those creative juices flowing and try to find that inspiration, because the truth is writing is hard. The majority of the time it's like a work. It's a whole different type of work. And it can be really difficult sometimes. You know, we all hit that writer's block, and that can be really difficult, but we try to open up a space for people to feel comfortable to walk in and get feedback on their work, and then hopefully come to the slam and, you know, have strangers judge your work by scores, which is like a whole
That's
other terrifying.
Yeah,
it's not frightening at all.
And do folks can just come in at any time and just kind of walk in, or do they need to make a sort of a reservation for this tonight?
Tonight people can just walk in. It's just at Uptown Arts Bar at 7 p.m. Anybody is welcome. Any skill level, whether you've been slamming for 10 years or have never walked into a poetry slam in your whole life, we welcome everybody and anybody.
So. And I want to mention that Samantha Slupski has been the host and slam master for Kansas City Poetry Slam for years now, decades.
Not decades.
I know. I'm just kidding with you. She's really not that old. But you also are executive director of Poetic Underground, a board member for Fountain Verse, KC Small Press Poetry Fest, which was awarded the second best poet. You were awarded second best poet by the Pitches Best of 2017. Mm-hmm. Also an Arts KC grant recipient in 2017. And I know you've been touring quite a bit, haven't you?
I toured in the spring, and then I had a show in Australia.
Yeah.
So I do things, you know.
You get things done.
Yeah, I do things, yeah. But right now, just like our primary goal is just to like represent Kansas City the best that we can. I'm like super grateful to have like really talented and committed teammates, because that, you know, unfortunately doesn't happen very often. You know, it's really hard to be this committed to something, because we've been practicing for, I think, every week for 3 months now.
Wow.
And so it takes a whole lot of commitment, and we have a great team that...
So how can we follow you during this? Is there any sort of, will you be tweeting, social media, live feed? What?
If you follow us on Facebook at Kansas City Poetry Slam, we'll have, I'll be posting, I do all the social media stuff as well, so I'll be posting updates. And then all of our individual Instagrams, you know, we all, this is like a super personal thing for each one of us too, you know, because we're, at the end of the day, putting all of our emotions up on a stage.
Yeah.
We have a hashtag for our team called, or it's hashtag Let's Get Emotional. So you can follow that. Yeah.
Mine is hashtag Leave Me the Heck Alone. But that was edited for radio, so there you go. You know, I wish you the best of luck in Chicago. Chicago's a fun town. You know, you'll gain a lot of inspiration and have a lot of great food and camaraderie. People with the slam, National Poetry Slam in Chicago. So good luck to you. And we will follow you on social media.
Awesome.
Terrific. Well, we're going to, again, thank Samantha Slupski, Asia Rain, and Abby Bland. Thank you so much for coming in today. Also, thanks to Rudy Youngblood and Sieglinda Otmer, Haley Selmeyer. And next week, August 15th. It's going to be the 15th of August. I love that. We have Brandon Draper. He'll be in the studio. Also, artist educator Paul Tosh will be in the studio. And then we're going to have a visit by Mason Kilpatrick, who will be with us next week. So I want to thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for my jazzy jazz friend, Jeff Harshbarger. We love Jeff. He's here. And I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. And honey, I'm coming home.